You may be seated. Many years ago, I used to take our youth from our church to Gospelite Baptist Church in Walkertown, North Carolina, to the youth conference that they would have there every single year. And what a great time we'd have doing that. And we'd spend all week there with preaching and singing and going to events and Bible study and so forth. Just a great event. And these are things, you know, later on that we'll be doing here in our church for our youth also. But Steve Robertson at that time, the pastor's son, a pastor was Bobby Robertson there at Gospelite. And Steve Robertson was the one who led all the youth conferences. He was the one that put that together and so forth. And I was thinking about him just then as we were singing that song, because it says, hallelujah, hallelujah, you know. And Steve would always tell the young people, because we had a song that we sung and had hallelujah, the word in it. And he said, well, I know which ones of y'all are from the south, and I know which ones of y'all are from the city and from the north. He said, because the ones are from the south say hallelujah, and the ones from the north and from the cities, they say hallelujah. And so whichever one you may have said a while ago, that's okay. Y'all know I'm from the south, and that's okay too. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, it's good to be in God's house today. If you would take the Word of God and turn with us to Exodus chapter 13, Exodus chapter 13, we're going to be reading one verse there this morning, so I'm just going to let you stay seated this morning. We're going to be reading one verse there, and we're preaching a topical type of message today, and I'll share with you what that means here in just a moment as we read verse 3 of Exodus chapter 13. Word of God states in verse 3, and Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for the strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. Again, I want you to look at that verse, and I want you to look at that word, remember. We're going to be preaching topically this morning on that word and sharing some things with you in the Word of God that we have to remember. And I'm going to be honest with you today, there is so much in the Word of God that God tells us that we need to be remembering. And so let's go ahead and go to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings today. We thank you, God, for the honor that we can give to those fallen heroes and soldiers, and not just soldiers in the military, but those of our police force, those of our fire department that have, and the medical profession that have given their life to save other lives. We thank you for that. There are missionaries that have given their lives for the cause of Christ. And so, Father, so many others today that have done these things. All these shootings around our world today that we hear about, people have given their lives to make a broad statement of who they are and what they are, and Father, how that they want to stand for God. And we thank you, Lord, that we live in a country where we can still stand. We can still say amen. We can still praise you. We can still lift you up today. And we thank you for that. And we ask you, Lord, that you might help us as we continue to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In a form of introduction this morning, I want to share with you that every Sunday is a Memorial Day. Every single Sunday is a Memorial Day. We are to remember our Lord each and every day. But speaking of Memorial Day, Memorial Day is an official holiday in most states of the United States. Not in every state, but in most of them. It was observed on May 30th until 1971, when the federal employees, the date was changed for them to the last Monday in May, with the exception of Louisiana. All states observing Memorial Day adopted the change. It is also known as Decoration Day. Actually, it was more known as Decoration Day before that. The custom of placing flowers on graves of the war veterans began on May 5th, 1866 in Waterloo, New York. And Waterloo has been recognized by Congress as the official birthplace of Memorial Day. In 1868, General John A. Logan then president of the Grand Army of the Republic, declared that May 30th would be a day to decorate with flowers the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion. After World War I, the day was set aside to honor all the American wars, and the custom was extended to pay homage to deceased relatives and friends, both military and civilian. The most solemn ceremony conducted on Memorial Day is the placing of a wreath at the tomb of the unknowns located in Arlington National Cemetery. Tomorrow, we will celebrate this day. Many people see it just as a day off, a three-day weekend or a kickoff of the summer vacation, barbecues and backyard activities. But for those who have lost someone because of war or military action, it means so much more than just a day off. In fact, every American ought to recognize this day out of their patriotic duty to their country and honor those who spilled their blood to make America what she is today. Free, strong, and a nation worth fighting for. Because men have died for this country, we have the right to preach God's word freely. And we have the right to live in peace in our homes. We have the right to pursue peace, prosperity, and happiness. Thank God for all those who died to make us have this freedom. As we prepare to enter into a day to remember those who died for liberty, it is fitting also to remember the one who died to set us free from the spiritual tyranny that we are under as the devil fights against us. Jesus fought the armies of hell that we might have liberty in his holy name. And we think then about remembrance. We think about remembering these fallen heroes. We think about Scripture and what God tells us in his word. And just like going through an old photo album that we look at sometimes to remember our loved ones and what they look like, I want to call your attention to some things today that are worthy of our remembrance from the Word of God. Number one, we should remember the time and the place of our salvation. We should remember the time and the place of our salvation. Now, I remember the place because I was there. Amen. And hopefully you remember the place because you were there. But someday I may not remember that. Someday my physical health and maybe mental health may get to a point where I may not actually remember the day and the time where I was saved, or maybe even the place that I was saved. But praise God, I really don't have to worry about remembering that because God, my Savior, remembers it for me. And so I thank him for that. So you and I today, we need to make sure that we remember the place of our salvation and the time of our salvation and work at that so that God can instill that in our hearts and know for sure that we're saved. In fact, today, that's something I want you to think about throughout this lesson. Am I saved? Am I truly saved today? Have I truly given my heart and my life to Jesus Christ? Have I knelt before him? Have I confessed my sins before him? Have I repented of my sins? By the way, remorse and repentance are two totally different things. We can be remorseful for what we've done, but we need to be repentant of what we've done. God does not say remorse and he'll save you. He says repent and be saved. And so we make sure today that we are saved. Number two today, we should remember the pit that we were in prior to our salvation. In Psalm 9, verse 15, the Word of God says, "The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hid and their own foot taken." Psalm 40 and verse 2 says this, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." We need to make sure that we remember when we get saved that we have not always been saved, that we've not always been doing these things for the Lord that we're trying to do now, that there was a time in our life when God tells us and reminds us that we were in a horrible pit where the devil was keeping us there and pushing us down and beating us down and leading us in a way away from God and not towards God. I want to remind you today that the devil hates you today. The devil despises you today as a child of God. He does not want you to serve God. He does not want you to lift him up. He does not want you to praise him. And one way that we can defeat the devil today and stick a finger in his eye is to make sure that we remember that pit and we remind that devil that we're no longer in that pit anymore, that we're saved now and we're on our way to glory, dear friends. And we can remember that, and God wants us to remember that. Number three today, we should always remember love that was given to us and that followed our salvation. Preacher, what are you talking about? Well, in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, and verses 4 through 5, the Word of God says this. He says, nevertheless, talking about the church at Laodicea, he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Thou hast left thy first love. Verse 5 says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. I want to tell you today that when a person falls, he falls from one level to a lower level. You never fall upwards. We're always falling downwards. And so what the Lord is trying to tell us today and instruct us in is that you and I, when we get saved, there is a love bond that you and I actually receive at that time. We're receiving the love of Jesus Christ. We're receiving the love of God into our heart, the love that allowed His Son to come into this world and die for each and every one of us. God loved us that much that He would even give His own Son to do that. The Bible says that God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. And so we have that great love that God has given unto us. But yet sometimes in our life, in the walk that we have, and the things that the devil fights against us with, sometimes that love begins to be forgotten, doesn't it? The church at Laodicea, they had forgotten. They had walked away from their first love. They had gotten to, maybe like some of the modern churches of today, and they had gotten to the place in their life where it was more important to them for the programs and more important for them for all the things that they were doing instead of why they were doing those things. We should never get caught so much up into things that we're doing out here than the reason that we do the things that we do, dear friends. If we do not put God first in our life and do not put God first in every activity, from playing the piano to singing in the choir to taking up the offering to working in the secretary's office to pastoring the church to sitting in the pews, whatever job, whatever focus, whatever talent, whatever blessing, whatever gift that God has given you, we must make sure that we do that for the love of Christ and not for our own selves. We miss out. We miss out on the love of God. And that's exactly what happened to the church of Laodicea. They were good people. They were still Christians. But God told them that you've left your first love. You've left my Son. You've left me. You've walked away. And how sad it is when we walk away from the Lord. But praise God, God gives them an opportunity, doesn't He? And we live in a part of the age of Laodicea in the world that we're living in right now. The church of Laodicea was a real place, but it's also a dispensation of time that we live in partially right now. And you and I believe our world has walked away from God. I believe our world has walked away from the love of God. I believe our churches have walked away from the love of God. And it's not about the love of God anymore. It's not about the preaching of God anymore. It's not about the blood of Jesus Christ anymore. It's about all kinds of other things in our churches. And God's telling us that there's a way you can get back. He says, you, when you're fallen, you need to repent and go back and remember what you started doing to begin with, your first works. And what is our first work? Our first work is leading people to the Lord and praising Him. Brother Woody mentioned it this morning that we are to pray and we're to praise. Amen. We're to pray to our Lord and we're to praise Him for what He's doing. That brings about true worship in our church. Worship in church is not just about coming and hearing the preacher preach and hearing the singing sung. When we leave this place, we ought to feel like we've been in worship. Amen? And I can't make you feel that way, no matter how hard I preach, no matter how good a message I preach, no matter how many times I read Scripture or quote Scripture. I can't make that happen for you. You have to make that happen for yourselves, dear friends. Worship is a group effort here in our church. And we definitely cannot truly worship God if we've left our first love. So we need to make sure that we remember the love that followed our salvation. God tells us there in these verses, there's three things that we have to do. First of all, we have to remember. Secondly, we have to repent. And then thirdly, we have to return. Remember, repent, and return. And you and I, dear friends, we need to make sure that we understand all three of these and make sure that we're doing all three of these things. So I come to point number four today. Things that we should remember. Things in God's Word that God teaches us about that we need to remember. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verses 4 through 5, he tells us there that we should remember our vows and our commitments. Our vows and our commitments. He says there, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. In other words, dear friends, if you have promised something to God, you better make sure you follow through with it. Amen? We're to vow to God. Now the vows that he's asking us to remember are most importantly our vows to God. And maybe you made a vow to give to missions. I'm not talking about at the beginning of the year when people make those resolutions, you know, because those resolutions usually by the second week of January are already forgotten about. I mean, you know, one of the most popular ones is, I'm going to lose 30 pounds this year. You know, I gained more than 30 pounds. But God, maybe your vow that you made to God was a vow to give to missions. And I can guarantee you our missionaries would definitely love to have that extra expense, you know. That extra money to do the work for the Lord that they're doing. I had a call from one of my missionary friends that I have had for so many years now. He and his family have been on the mission field in the Philippines for 40, 45 years, something like that now. And he called me and he said, "Preacher," he said, "how you doing?" I said, "I'm doing very well." I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "Well, preacher," he said, "I'm not calling to ask you for anything." He said, "Because God has blessed us. We don't need anything." He said, "I'm calling to give you a blessing." And he does this every few months. He'll call me and he'll tell me the same thing. He'll say, "Preacher, I'm not calling because we don't need anything." And then he'll say this. He'll say, "I know most missionaries don't call you and say that to you." They call and say, "Hey, preacher, we need this or we need that." But God has blessed them. And God has blessed them in that church down there. They're running thousands in their church, hundreds in their Bible college, just all kinds of things that have happened. Many churches have been started because of the work of that missionary down there in the Philippines. And I praise God for that. But that is because that there was a vow made and a vow that was kept. He honored the Lord. He honored the vow. And God has honored that in him and his family. All of his family, they came to America and went to college, and now they're right back down there, married Filipino people, and are working and serving the Lord right there. Amen? The entire family gave their heart and their life to God. So we make vows, and we're to remember the vows that we make to God. Maybe it's to missions. Maybe it's to witness more often. Maybe it's to live a more holy life. Maybe it's to answer a call on your life that God has given you. Whatever that may be, we are to remember the vow that we made. And I think today that we need to remember on a daily basis, not just on Memorial Day, not just on another day, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, but every day, dear friends. We need to remember what God has told us to do and what we've told him that we're going to do. And then there's something else that God talks to us about as well. There are other vows that we make in our world. We make vows to our spouse, do we not? We are to remember the vows that we've made to our spouse to relate today the violation of these vows that have been made. The divorce rate in America, how high it is. The separation rate in America, how high it is. And all these things have happened in America because the devil tries to infiltrate our families and break our families apart and mess our families up. Because if he can do that, if he can get to the family, he can get to the church. We've made vows to our spouses to love them, to honor them, to cherish them. In most Christian marriages, those words are used. We need to remember that. To love our spouses and lift them up, honor them, to cherish them, to hold them in great esteem And that's such a blessing when we do that. And then we're to make sure that we keep ourselves for them and not for anybody else. Vows, you see. We're to remember these things. Number five, we are also to remember our brethren. God tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. You and I today, Pastor Hodge and myself, we are pastors, but every one of us, in a sense, are ministers today. And we are to minister the Word of God to everyone we come in contact with. And God tells us there that we are to put every single one of our brethren in remembrance of these things. All of us. Intercessory prayer. We talked about prayer this morning in our Sunday school lesson. Prayer is important. Talked about prayer yesterday. I've been talking about prayer all week long to somebody. Evidently, God needs me to tell you today that prayer is important. Prayers are answered, dear friends. I see prayers being answered every single day of my life. Every single prayer. Now, you may not think your prayer is being answered, but maybe God's answering it and you're just not accepting the way He gave you the answer. Intercessory prayer. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23 says this, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." God wants us to pray for each other. How do you know that the person you're sitting beside or behind or in front of today, that they might be going through the worst and hardest battle they have ever gone through in their life? And all they simply really need is somebody to pray for them. Somebody to come to them and take them by the shoulder and say, "Brother or sister, I'm praying for you." We're to pray for each other today. And God tells us there in that scripture that actually when we do not pray for each other, it becomes a sin to us. Because God commands us to pray for each other. And so we are to remember our brethren. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day." We're not supposed to just pray for people when we go to bed at night. We're supposed to pray all day long, dear friends. God tells us that we are to be in a prayer attitude each and every single day to remember our brothers and our sisters in Christ. We are only as strong as we can be strong together. And it's when we gather together like we are here today and we pray for each other like we have here today, when we do this, we become a strong congregation. And a strong congregation can defeat the devil. We can defeat all kinds of things that happen, and we can move forward for the Lord. And that's what God wants every congregation to do. You know, there was a time when people were more concerned for their friends than they were for their own selves. But now it's all about me, me, me. What can I get? What can I have? You know, what are you going to give me? What are you going to do for me? I think we need to get back to some of those old times. Those old times were hard, weren't they? I mean, rough and tough and all kinds of things happened. But people got through it, didn't they? That's why you're here today. Because your grandparents and your great-grandparents and your great-great-grandparents, they fought through things. They suffered for the Lord and moved through this. They remembered their brethren. We're to do that too. Number six today, and I'm trying to move fast today. Number six, we are to remember the truths of God. The truths of God. John's Gospel chapter 4 and verse 20, chapter 14 and verse 26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach." Now I'll get my note here moved. "You all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3 says, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent." We are to remember the Word of God. We're to remember everything that the Lord teaches us in this Word. Now, you and I, we're not dictionaries. We do not have encyclopedic minds like some people do. We do not have that memory that can quote back every single thing. But I can guarantee you, if you'll read and study the Word of God, hide His Word in your heart, I guarantee you it'll be just like He said. You hide His Word in your heart that you might not sin against God. And if you'll do that, friend, I promise you, God will bless you. And when you need to remember that verse that you read, that you don't even remember that you know, God will call it to your mind and you'll be able to quote it. And sometimes it's been with me in my life. It's been in those times that I needed the most when the devil was fighting against me and I needed something to give back to the devil to stop him. And I can guarantee you, if you'll use the Word of God against the devil, he'll stop. He'll get away from you because he cannot stand the Word of God. We are to remember the Word of God. But there also, we are to remember our parents. Our parents. Everybody has one or two, right? You know? They may not be here. They may not be together or whatever. But we're to remember our parents. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, very familiar passage. And young people, I want you to listen closely. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is wrong. Is that what he said there? For this is what I think you should do? No. For this is in the Lord. If you want to honor God, and so many Christian young people want to honor God, the very first way, one of the first commandments that God gives unto you is to obey your parents. And I'm going to throw something else in there, your grandparents as well. Amen. Now, let me share this. I know that not all parents are Christian. I know that not all grandparents are Christian. When God speaks to us about this, He's speaking about Christian people, and we're to listen to them. But whether your parent is saved or lost, you're still supposed to honor them, dear friends. Because you know what? They will always be your parent. My parents are no longer here, but they are still my parents. Amen? And we're to remember them. We're to remember our parents. Why are so many teenage tragedies today? Why do we hear about a teenager who's taken their life? A teenager who's taken a gun into the school and killed people? Why do we hear these things? We hear these things because they have forgotten that first rule. They have forgotten to obey their parents and honor them. Psalm 71 and verse 9 says this, "Cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth." We're to remember our parents. Now, not only are we to remember our parents, but then we come to this thought of Memorial Day. We're to remember our soldiers and our heroes. I have been taught in my life that a person in a military uniform is a hero. They're all heroes. They have given their heart, their time, their talents, their abilities, sometimes even their families and the sake of their families for the cause of this country. And some have fallen in that. When we have military people, we are to honor them. This is something that God teaches. Do you know that the Jewish people, that they honored their military? You ever heard the saying that happens in Scripture where it says that David has slain his 10,000s and Saul his thousands? They came, when David and the military came back, they laid down palm leaves in the streets and waved them for the military coming in. There was a time when this country would actually have great blessings when their military came home from the wars. But today, there's not much of that. The military is forgotten. some of our liberal government decides to close down military bases everywhere you go. Let's make the military smaller. Let's make government bigger. And that's what they've done. I will say this, I still feel safe in America more than any other country I've ever been in. But I can guarantee you one thing today, America and our military is not what it used to be. But we need to remember these soldiers. We need to remember these heroes. When protesters begin to speak out against our military, I think to myself, they need to see some blood spilled. Oh, not the blood of someone else. They need to look down and realize if it were not for these soldiers, that their very own blood could be spilled, dear friends. I can't stand to see people make light of those who have fought for our country, to laugh at them, to mock them, to make fun at them, sitting on the side of the road, sitting on a street corner, begging for money because they have run out of their things that come to them, or else it was taken away from them. We should remember how our country began as a Christian nation, based on God's laws and what makes America great, lest we lose it. In God We Trust is still our national motto. This is not some off-the-wall Christian right-wing political slogan today. It is our national motto today. It is engraved in stone in the House of Representatives in our Capitol and is printed on our currency today. We adopted this motto because Christian men and women on Christian principles founded this nation, and this is clearly documented throughout all of our history. If it is appropriate for our motto to be inscribed in the halls of our highest levels of government, then it's certainly appropriate for it to be displayed on the walls of our schools and our courthouses. And why are these things not there anymore? Because we Christians have forgotten. We've forgotten to stand up for the soldiers. We've forgotten to stand up for the rights of God. God is in our pledge, our national anthem, nearly every patriotic song, and our founding documents. We honor His birth, His death, His resurrection as on holidays, as we turn to Him in prayer in time of crisis. If God offends you, then I suggest you consider yourself another part of this world to go to. Amen. Back when the election was, and I'm not a political person, so to speak, and I don't like to beat it from the pulpit, but I will say this in a political forum. There were people that's made statements. I mean, famous people that made statements that if Trump became president, that they would leave this country. I said, let me get a boat. Let me buy the boat myself, and let's put you on the boat and put you about 50 miles out in the ocean, and you can just live there for a little while. Amen, brother. Without a parachute. Then maybe they could see some of their own blood and they could realize that our soldiers have fought for them. They stood for them all these years. We're to remember. We're to remember them. God is part of our culture and we ought to be proud to have Him in it. Amen. He's part of my culture. He is my life. I am a Christian because of God. I am a preacher because of God. I'm in this church today because of God. And I'm able to be in this church today because people have fought for us to keep us safe. Not only are we to remember our soldiers and our heroes, but we're to remember the old paths. Oh, my goodness, dear friends. We're to remember what God has taught us. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." It sounds like I just read a piece out of the newspaper today, doesn't it? God tells us to honor the old way, to honor the old path, because that is the good way. Listen, dear friends, in our society today, we want to try to find a new way, don't we? But I can guarantee you that new way is not the way. That new way sends people to hell every single day. Just as quick as lightning strikes, it sends people to hell. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 28 says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." God has given us an ancient landmark in this book. He's given us an ancient landmark in the prophets of old, and the people that have stood for us. And we ourselves, dear friend, are not to forget that. So what are the old landmarks then, preacher? Well, first of all, it is this old book. It's not old-fashioned. It's still current today, dear friends. This Bible, this King James 1611, the original, dear friends. Not a new one, not a new King James Version, not a revised version, not a new international version, not a new century version. And I could go on and on and on because there are thousands of versions and translations today. But the King James Version, dear friend. The old book, the blessed book, the only book for God. I'll tell you this today, as for me and my house, we're going to stay with the old book. And we're going to stay with the old paths. And we need to remember that. We need to make those commitments today. So what else is the old landmarks? Well, it's the old book, but it's also the old-time religion. Amen. Again, I say this new stuff is sending people to hell. Let's just gather around and love everybody. Let's just love everybody. You know. Y'all gather your hands and let's love and let's sway in our pews, you know. And we'll hold up our Bibles while we do it. But we never make pledges to it, though. We never honor it. We never believe it. We never trust in it. We never trust in the God of the Word. We never do any of these things. But let's love each other. We've got to remember these old paths and quit following the world. Every little new thing that the world comes out with, I can guarantee you it's going to fall away just as quick as it came. But the old paths, dear friends, they're still old and they're still here and they're still right. Oh, what is the next old path? The old country church. Amen. The old country church. You know, there was a time in this country where on Sunday night, someone would light an old kerosene light, an old kerosene lantern, and everyone would gather around the piano and they would sing for about 30 or 45 minutes. And after they would sing for about 30 or 45 minutes, then the preacher would get up and he would come and preach for about an hour or so about the awfulness of sin and the horrors of hell, or maybe the sweetness of heaven. And everybody loved it and they enjoyed it and they were filled with God and they shouted and praised God. Now we've come to our churches, hardly attend services on Sunday nights, hardly attend any on Wednesday nights, and we don't sing, and if we do, we're quiet, we try to be politically correct and everything, and the Spirit is no longer there. How do you think great revivals happened? Great revivals happened because of these old country churches, these old country preachers that stood up in the pulpit and they preached their life out, dear friends. They hollered, amen, and sometimes they whispered. But they preached the word. They were instant in season and out of season, like God tells Paul to tell Timothy. But stay in the word. The old country church. And then in the old country church, they had something else which is a landmark too. The old hymns. Amen. The old, like the old rugged cross. Nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. At the cross, where I first, what? Saw the light. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Oh, my goodness. Our our churches and our world today, they've forgotten these things, haven't they? These old hymns, they were written because they were written out of blood and sweat and tears when people would read the Word of God and they would want to serve God. And God would lay upon their heart. Their heart was bursting so much that the only thing they could do is pin down their heart and wrote these songs. And now we sing these songs over and over. They never get old to me. Somebody says, "Oh, preacher, we got to have a song with a beat in it, you know, so we can sway in our pews, you know." And that's the devil's music. And I can guarantee you, dear friends, when you're listening to that music and that becomes your forte, then the devil's got you right here. The old hymns. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14 says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Number one, the blood atonement. Number two, Christian holiness. Number three, the second coming. Number four, the eternal security of a believer. And by the way, yes, we still believe in that as Baptists. Amen? Baptism by immersion. Not sprinkling, you know, or Chunky Duncan, you know. It's by immersion. The virgin birth. A key doctrine. That if you do not believe in the virgin birth, you truly cannot be saved, dear friends. The inspiration of the Scriptures, God breathed, inerrant, heaven and hell. These are things, doctrines, and things that we have been taught in our Word that we need to remember. We need to share them with our children and our grandchildren so that they remember. And tell them to share it with their friends and their families. Tell them to go to school and tell everybody about it. I want all of you tomorrow to go, well, not tomorrow because you'll be off work tomorrow, some of you. I want you to go to work on Tuesday then, and I want you to tell everybody what that preacher said down here at the church. Tell them. Now, the only way you can tell them is to remember, right? And isn't that what Memorial Day is? Every time of remembrance. And then, lastly, in closing today, the most important one, we are to remember the Lord. We do this regularly here at our church through the Lord's Supper. And He tells us there, "This do in remembrance of me." Remembering His ultimate sacrifice is the main thing, but it should lead us to remember Him in many other ways. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 14 says, "And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible." We need to remember Him in our time. We need to remember Him with our talent. We need to remember Him with our treasures. We need to remember Him in our thoughts. We need to remember Him in our tasks. Let's not forget these things because these things are so important today. Everything that I've said today is so important that we remember. Please make sure you remember His dying love. As He says on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Remember His comforting call when He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Remember His charge that He tells us as He goes back into the sky. "Go ye into all the world and preach." Remember His commandments. "If you love me and keep my commandments." Judges chapter 2 and verse 10 in closing says, "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers." Almost all of them. "And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel." I'm afraid that today in the world that we live, we have forgotten our military. We have forgotten our soldiers. We have forgotten what we are in America for. We have forgotten that in God we should be trusting. We have forgotten all these things. And I'm telling you this, dear friends, if we've forgotten it, it will be gone in the next generation. And then what can you imagine the next one will be like if God tarries that long? I see things today that have happened in our world that I never, ever dreamed in my lifetime as a young boy that I would ever see happen in America. I see things happening in churches and things that churches do now that I never dreamed would ever happen in a Bible-believing church, especially a fundamental, independent Bible-believing church. And it breaks my heart. Because that now not only is the thing that happens in our world today, it now has become the norm. And God is heartbroken over it. I can just imagine God right now in heaven as He looks down on this earth and He wants to be pleased. He wants to be blessed. But I wonder how much times when He looks down here, He is not. And how many of us in our congregations are the reasons why He is not. Why we've not remembered. Only you, friends, can answer that question. I started out with asking you this question. Are you sure you're saved? Are you sure that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you truly ever repented of your sins and asked Christ to come into your heart? And you know that you know that you know that you know today that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. How many of y'all know that? Raise your hands. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, if you could not raise your hand right then, you can raise your hand if you'll just accept Jesus Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Today. And we can do that because we remember what God has said unto us. We can remember what God wants us to do. And God never wants you to die and go to hell. God never wants you to be in a place of torment. God always wanted you to be in heaven with Him. God always wanted you to be in fellowship with Him. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die, to bring us back into fellowship with God. It's not His desire. So if you go out of this world without Jesus Christ, it is not His fault. It's not my fault. It's not this church's fault. It's not Pastor Hodge's fault. It's not your parents' fault. It's not your grandparents' fault. It's not your great-grandparents' fault. It's your fault. Because it's a decision, dear friend, that you and you alone can make. And if you haven't made that decision, today is your decision time. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I wonder today if there's someone here in this congregation that would say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I know I'm not saved. I've been living my life wrong, and I really want to get saved. I want to live for the Lord. I'm convicted about this, and that lets me know that I'm wrong." Will you please slip your hand up right now so I can pray for you? Is there one anywhere? "I'm not saved, but I want to be saved." Is there one somewhere? Young, old, middle-aged, senior citizen. Don't be ashamed. Slip your hand up where you are. Say, "Preacher, I am a Christian. I love the Lord. And I want to be more faithful to Him. I want to be more committed to Him. I want to honor Him each and every day of my life. I want to remember these things. Preacher, will you pray for me?" Will you slip up your hand where you are? God bless you. Someone else, God bless you and you. Someone else. God bless you. Then I ask you this, dear friends. When the music begins to play and the song leader begins to lead us in that song, you make your way to the altar and you listen to God. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You, Lord, for this memorial time that we can think of You and Father, we can think of these fallen heroes. And Father, I'm so thankful that I can stand here today and hold on to this pulpit and preach Your precious word. I'm thankful that I have that freedom. But Father, it seems in our world today that even these freedoms are being taken away from us little by little. And I ask God today that you would help us to stand up against those things. Help us as Christians to be committed and dedicated. These that have raised their hands, I pray, Father, for them. But I do not pray for them alone. I pray for others as well. I pray that we all can be committed and dedicated to you. I pray, Father, that we can use, as was mentioned in Sunday school this morning, that we can use our gifts for you, and we can be thankful for what we have. And, Father, that we can honor you on a daily basis, be in church when the doors are open, and praise you and be used for you. Father, help us with this. In Jesus' name we ask this prayer. Amen. Sister Heather. Surrender all. It's a personal commitment that we make unto Him. You're not making it to me. You're not making it to this church. You're making it to Jesus. Let's all gather together in this one thing that we can truly agree in today as we walk out these doors, that we will surrender everything unto Him and we'll do what He says. I told the church Wednesday night that one thing about discipleship that we must have is we must have a heart change. If your heart is not changed, dear friends, we can never do what God wants us to do. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Father, and now as we come before your throne of grace, we thank you for loving us and caring for us. We thank you for the sweet opportunity that you've given us today to be here in your house. And we thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for giving me a message to preach. I thank you for these that have come to hear the message, Lord, and I pray, Father, that it has not fallen upon deaf ears. Lord, I know that your word will not return back void unto thee, and so, God, we ask you to do that which you will. Tender the hearts of people, Lord. Help us, Lord, to commit our lives to thee. And help us, Lord, to come back tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.